Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
I believe that people over this last couple of months have been in a funny phase in this church. We looked at it in the regional meetings on Friday. We spoke about it then, that we've been in it seems as if it's been a dry patch. Maybe it's been a patch of exposure, a patch of life when things don't seem to be going the same way that they've been before. We looked at the pruning process of God. But one thing I want us to understand, and this is what I'm coming to understand, is that there has been a spiritual attack against people in this church. At the same time, that God has been moving in people's lives. And sometimes it molds into one, and we don't see what God's doing in the midst of it because the enemy of our souls comes and tries to pull us away from what it is that God wants to do in our lives. You have to understand that as a Christian, you must have a spiritual worldview. You must have a supernatural worldview. That tries to be robbed from us in today's society, even in Christianity today, by well-meaning people that say that the Holy Spirit doesn't move anymore, that there's no such thing as celestial beings and angels, that God's plan is contained within the material universe. But how many of you know that God is beyond all that? We have a God who still saves. You can't scientifically and empirically, work that out. We still have a God that heals. How many of you have been physically healed in the presence of God? There's people in this place that have been physically healed. What about emotional change, that you've been one way and now you're another way? What about your life has changed? You've been transformed. Let me see your hands. In the presence of God. So we still have a supernatural God. And what God wants to do in this day and age is that he wants to release, he wants to raise up anew and afresh in this season and release people into the harvest field. I believe that it's a time of great harvest. And I believe that God wants to raise up, train up, and then release people into the harvest field. I think that's his plan A, his plan B, his plan C, his plan D. That's how he works. But sometimes what happens is you feel like you're being held back, pulled back. It's not the reality of the calling of God starts to dim in your life. Things start to try and oppose it, right? You stop thinking that, maybe all that stuff was good for then. It was, I felt good then. It was hype. But now the reality of it is different. And we forget that in the Word of God, you see that there's a massive process that takes place between God identifying a person and calling them to his work. Then there's a process of training, right? Of changing until they're prepared for what he prepared for them. I don't know about you, but one of the saddest things I've ever seen is someone that gets to the point and the place that they've always longed for, but they weren't ready for it. And then boom, it's gone. It falls through their hands. It falls out of their grasp. They fail at that moment. But God is calling people, and I believe that's what he wants to speak to us about right now. And whatever it is that you've been feeling, sometimes there's been a mixture of God pulling you back, getting you ready in preparation, and then the enemy of your soul, who is real, his title is HaSatan in Hebrew, the adversary, right? That's a title. It's not his name. It's a title for a celestial being that opposes God's work in creation, right? And he wants to oppose the work of God in your life. He's real. He has many, many different minions and other celestial beings that try and oppose you from becoming everything God created you to become. They're very real. They've got power. But how many of you know we got authority? When Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Gethsemane, Satan did not gain power. He's a powerful celestial being. He gained authority. But when Jesus Christ, when he went up upon that cross, and when the nails were put in his hands and in his feet, and the thorns were placed upon his head, when the lash had been across his back, and then when the spear went into his side, and when he gave up his spirit, and he died physically and descended into the afterlife, and then didn't stay there. Some of you know Jesus went down to the place of the dead, but he didn't stay there. And when he rose again from the grave on the third day, attested to by witnesses. This ain't just a funky faith thing. This ain't blind faith. This is attested to by witnesses that he rose from the grave. When he rose from the grave, Satan didn't lose power, but he lost authority. He now only has the authority that you allow him to have. Oh, he has power. He can still tempt you. Hello. You're on that diet. Listen, it's not a demon holding a chocolate bar. That's your sinful, selfish desires that are still in you rising up. But he can tempt. He can tempt you into distraction. He can tempt you back into destruction. But how many of you know God is calling us forward into destiny? I want to look real quick at the calling of God. I believe there's people in here that you might have received the calling of God and then you've been in a process, or you're about to receive the calling of God and go into a process. But the thing is this, that once you've received the calling of God, it's for a purpose. Amen? We're called to follow a person. Number one, his name is Jesus Christ. Then we're called to go through a process. The process is of change. It's of sanctification, what the Bible calls sanctification, where you get separated from some of the old things that kept you back from being everything God created you to be. There's a process, and it's a process of revealing Christ in you. Are you with me? And God chips away at all the stuff outside of us that don't belong, all the stuff that shouldn't remain. And there's a process of that. And he'll take you through different seasons and different situations so that you'll get your foot out your mouth. You'll get the pride from off your chest. You'll get the rubber out your neck. Come on now. Huh? You get the lust out of you. Pride out of you. Huh? Fakeness out of you. And he'll take you through a process so that a vessel will be there that is a vessel of honor that he can live in and shine in and shine through. And it's for a purpose. And the calling, your calling is different to someone else. The actual details of it are different, right? The expanse of it is different, but the purpose of it is the same. That we are images of God, that we represent the God of creation in his creation. And that we tell people about him, we lead people to him, we teach people about him, we model it, the life that we have with him, so that everyone will come to know that the God of creation is the true and living God. There is no other. He is a loving God. He is a good God. He wants us to be with him, and he wants us to be with him forever. That's the purpose, right? But the way we go about it is different. How many of you remember that movie, Ghostbusters? You remember that movie? This came to me the other day, because that's what Victory Outreach is like. You know, we have a supernatural worldview. Right? You might think I'm off my head for saying that I had a demonic presence in my bedroom leaning over my bed and breathing down my neck. You might think I'm off my head. I'm crazy. You'd be right, I am. I am a bit crazy. But not because of that. I have a supernatural worldview. Are you with me? Jesus was supernatural. Mary, she accepted the supernatural because she got pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Moses saw a bush burning, spoke to him. That was it. He was off. Huh? You've got all these different situations and scenarios. But you remember what happened in the movie Ghostbusters? There was a group of crazy, wacky people from different backgrounds. And they got together to deal with a supernatural problem that was affecting their city, right? And you remember the song? You remember the song? When there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Right? There was something strange, right? Something was happening. And there were people that saw the strangeness but couldn't deal with it. And so they called on someone else to come who'd been equipped at the vision, the equipping, to come and deal with that problem. There were some people in the movie that tried to ignore the problem. And I mean, if you know, there's probably people in this place that try to ignore the reality of the supernatural. But there's also people in this place that have been affected by the supernatural. But there's also people in this place that have been called to go and deal with that problem in the city. And I'm not talking about going out and doing all funky stuff in the streets. What I'm talking about is being who God created you to be, doing what he created you to do, because then wherever it is that you go, you are representing the living God, and that authority, that light that is in you, banishes the darkness. They went and they did what it is that needed to be done. There's two types of people, mainly. The one who see the problem and are affected by the problem, and the ones that deal with the problem. You have the same thing in Christianity. The one who calls out for help, or the one who's called in to help. And I believe that God is about to raise up some people that he wants to call in to help in the cities of the world. It might be this city, it might be Birmingham, it might be Leeds, it might be Manchester, it might be London, it might be overseas, it might be in Wales. Somewhere. Beautiful, isn't it? Huh? Might be in Scotland, in Edinburgh or Glasgow. Might be in Jamaica or, you know, Ghana, Portugal. Man, I'd go on a mission to Portugal. Hallelujah. And plant a little church down there on the Algarve. Come on now. Go and spy out the land. Who wants to spy out the land with me? Come on. Portugal. Should we go and check out maybe planting a church in Jamaica? Who would come? Who'd come on the mission team? Huh? Praise the Lord. What about Glasgow? Who'd come on the mission team? What about Swansea? Cardiff? Leeds? Birmingham? Yeah, going once, going twice. Do we have any other offers? See, there comes a point when seasons change, because nothing stays the same forever. Whatever season you're in ain't going to stay the same forever. Amen? And you have to understand there's no good seasons or bad seasons. They're just different seasons. They all have lessons to learn. And if you learn the lesson of the season you're in, then it's been a good season, even if outside it looks like a bad season. A bad season is only a bad season if you stay in that season, don't learn from that season, and have to come straight back to that season. But even a season that looks bad, if you learn a good lesson, then you come out of it and you get the victory over it, and you can go, ha-ha. What you thought for bad, God turned it around and made it good. And we see this taking place throughout Scripture. Nothing stays the same. Every ministry needs people to take up the calling of God for their lives. And we see that it's revealed very clearly in the biblical accounts of different people when you read through. And that's why people are in the Bible, because they give us an understanding of what God wants to do in our lives through people, right? And we see that the people that God calls are not perfect. The only perfect person that's ever been was Jesus. But all the others were messed up. Don't that give you a little bit of hope? That means God can call you, even though you're messed up. Come on now. I know some of you are messed up. Put your hand up if you've ever been messed up. All right, see? You're a good candidate for God to use. Huh? And we see with Elijah and Elisha. And there was a continuing need for God's intervention, and that God always uses people to facilitate his will. You know, he could just say the word and everything would change, but he's created us to be his images here on earth, to do his will in the terrestrial, material world. He has the celestial beings that many people call angels, although there's many different types, to do his will in the spiritual world, right? One day, the two will come back together, and humanity, man, we're going to be up there. We're going to be doing some stuff with our glorified bodies. Come on now. Woo! No longer dying, no more crying. Come on now, no more selling and buying. Huh? But until then, there's an order. But God wants to use people here on earth. And when we look at these two people, there's a point in time when a season began to shift and something new was about to happen. Elijah was old school. He was raised in poverty and hardship. He was a little bit rough. But Elisha was different. He was raised in a more privileged environment. He was smoother. Are you with me? In fact, the Bible says he was so smooth, he was as bald as a baby bird. You get my drift. Elijah was as rough as a badger's back. Elisha was as bald as a baby bird. They were different. But God uses that difference, but the calling stays the same. See, that's why we can never look at someone else's calling and measure ourselves against that other person. The only person you have to measure yourself against is the old person that you were. The person you are today or the person you were yesterday. That's the person that you need to measure yourself against. Don't measure yourself against me because my calling is different. I might be more of an Elijah figure. Bit older, bit rougher, bit, you know what I mean? Old school, street. You might have never come from road, innit? You know what I mean? You might be new school. You might be coming up. You might be lovely. You might have, degree, or you might have a job, or you might have a family, and you might have all that stuff. You never had a fight. Huh? That's cool. God can use you as well. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter what background you come from. It matters what destiny is calling you to. So never compare, because the enemy of contentment is comparison. Right? So just make sure that you're following the call of God. You don't ever really see Elijah following anyone's lead in ministry. He was a pioneer. He had leaders, he had the prophets, he had all this stuff, and he was led from a distance, but he was a pioneer. He was a different type of character. But then you had Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah as his servant for 20 years. There's a difference in the process of how God is going to call and prepare a person, right? 20 years he followed him. And Elisha was called when he was working in his family business. He had a few quid. He had things going on. But he was called. The calling of God came upon him. And he followed. Instead of immediately learning to be the powerhouse of Elijah, Elisha had to serve Elijah. He had to learn how to be a follower before he could be a leader. He had to learn how to be a servant before he could be the superstar. Are you with me? One day, Elisha went from being his own man to being known as the man who poured water on Elijah's hands. That is, that he went from being someone at the top of his family business, having a fantastic job, to following after this other person and taking care of his business. And the thing was, Elijah wasn't manipulating Elisha. He wasn't forcing him to serve. Elisha could have gone back to doing his own thing at any point during those 20 years. It wasn't Elijah's control that was keeping him. It was the calling of God that was keeping him. And that's what enabled Elisha's faithfulness and perseverance. And it kept him in the place of his process, waiting. For 20 years, check this out. You read through scripture. For 20 years, Elisha never did a miracle. For 20 years, he never prophesied publicly, in a way that we've got written down. For 2 decades, Elisha was known as Elijah's servant. For all that time of the process, he was being pulled, it might have felt like he was being pulled back. And I am sure, although the Bible doesn't really say it, but I am sure that the enemy of his soul was there trying to hold him back. But one thing I've come to understand, and I understood it from the scenario of the bow and arrow, the example of a bow and arrow. If you get a bow, right, and you get an arrow, as long as the arrow is pointing in the right direction, the further the arrow gets pulled back, when it's released, finally, the greater the velocity, the greater the distance, the greater the acceleration, and the greater the impact. But a lot of people in the process, they turn back. They turn around. They face the wrong way. Are you with me? Then you can fire it off. It's just going to go bloop. Huh? So it's important about the process. Many of you are in a process right now. You've been going through a process. It might have been for a few months. You might have got called last year, last month, 5 years ago. God put a calling upon your life. And since then, you've been going through a process. Some of you were single when you were called. Then you got married and you thought, was I really even called? Huh? The only calling you get now is to come and do the washing up. You're like, is that it, Lord? Is that it? There I was, the man of power for the hour, and all of a sudden you gave me a helpmate, and now I'm washing dishes in the garden. I don't know about anything else. Sleeping in the garden. I'm out in the garden. Huh? My temple now is my shed. But during the time of Elisha's serving and learning, God was defining his identity and securing his character. This is key. This is key. Your character and your identity are the most important part of this. Your identity locks in your location. The calling of God sets your destination. But then your character is what takes you through following every instruction. The time scale is different for different people at different times and different parts of God's plan. But it's cool because God don't measure time. He measures growth. I was a pastor after 5 years. I got saved from drugs, addiction, the streets and crime. Went into the men's home, graduated the men's home after 9 months. Went back in to run the men's home. Went out on the mission field. Went to the Far East, came back. Went to the Middle East, came back. All that time, I was learning and growing and facing the right direction. I was a single man. I was going through my changes, going through my challenges. And then in 2000, I got saved in July 1995. And in March of 2000, I became a reverend, a licensed minister of the gospel. 5 years. Other people, it might take 10. Other people, it might take 20. It's irrelevant. If you want 5 years, you would have to go through my warfare. You'd have to go through my hardship. You want that? Good luck. You want my job? Come up right now, man. I'll take yours. And your salary, and your house, and your car. You might like my car. You can take my payments. Don't compare yourself, man. Calling of God's different, but God measures your growth by your obedience. As soon as you obey what he says, you move on to the next stage. Problem is, many people, it takes longer than it should because they don't obey what it was that he told them to do last time. But Elisha was there, faithful, 20 years. Huh? Elijah was larger than life character and Elisha was different. But even though Elisha was different to Elijah in his manner and his methods, and even though he wasn't exactly the same as the forerunner, he was part of that unfolding plan of God. Elisha functioned the same way that Elijah did. When he eventually got into his purpose, the function was the same. The form was different. We've got young people that God wants to raise up right now. How many of you know, when I'm an old guy, I'm 50 years old. We never had cell phones. We never had iPads and iPods. We had irons and iPatches. That's the only eye thing we had. Are you with me? Huh? Now they've got everything. They've got super duper stuff. You know, they've got weird things going on. Technology, military technology that would blow you away probably. Amen. Now, then we didn't have technology. But now everything's technology. Right? Everything's Snapchat. Huh? And how many of you know, you try and stop the Snapchat, you get the back chat. Huh? Back in my day, you give back chat, you really got something on the neck back. Nowadays, you get arrested for that, right? Mamma mia. And the thing is this, he carried the same anointing and authority as Elijah. Let me ask you a question. In the army, you have a general, you have a private. The general has the most authority, the private has the least authority. When does the private have the most authority as the general? When the private is carrying out a task for the general. When the private takes an order from the general and he takes a task that the general's given him and he goes and does it, then he carries the same authority as the general that gave it. See, it doesn't matter what type of person you are, whether you're a young person growing up, whether you're an old person growing up, wherever it is that you get the calling of God, it's the calling of God upon your life that gives you the authority of God to go into a situation where there's ghosts, where there's demons, where there's madness, where there's vice, where there's crime, where there's sin, and go in with the power of the living God to see change come. Are you with me? But you have to respond to the calling of God. Elisha used different methods. Whereas it might have always seemed that Elisha was always going to be in the shadow of his mentor, God had a different idea. A couple of things that we have to know if we're going to really walk in the calling of God. First thing is that you're going to do the same things that your predecessors have done. Ain't nothing new under the sun. You're going to preach the gospel, you're going to live right, you're going to be holy, you're going to trust God, you're going to live in faith, you're going to tell other people, and you're going to be a discipler of other people. You're going to be an example. You're going to do those things, right? That's what you need to do. Second thing, I'm really hurrying this up, is it becomes part of you, the calling of God. Everything then revolves around the calling of God in your life. If you know you've been called by God and you haven't skipped out of the process, you will know that God is first in your life. Are you with me? That means there's no excuse about meeting up with other believers on a Sunday or coming to church or giving and paying your tithes and being sacrificial or praying or reading the Word of God or living holy or getting rid of all your vices. There's no excuse for that because God is first in your life and the calling of God is a value upon your life. And you might say, well, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a leader. I'm not talking about the leadership aspects of this. I'm talking about the calling of God to go into a dark world and shine as a light. That means you could be 13 years old. You could be 56. You could be married, unmarried, a male, a female. You can be whatever it is and wherever it is that you are right now. But the calling of God is upon your life and you've responded to it and you've said, I hear your voice. I'm going to do what my forefathers in the Word of God have done and live for you and give everything for you and love you first. Are you catching this? You're going to put him first. It's going to be in your bones. Are you with me? They cut you, you're going to bleed Jesus. Huh? Jesus first. Jesus in middle. Jesus last. Jesus in the morning. Jesus in the afternoon. Jesus in the evening. Well, I don't want to become one of them religious fanatics. You're not going to be... Put Jesus first, you won't even be religious. Religion is, you know, it's a man-made symptom of a lack of relationship. Because you'll put rules instead of relationship. Huh? But when you've got a relationship, you don't need rules. You know there's certain things. I've got a relationship with my wife. We don't sit down and write out the rules for the week. I know she'd like to because she... You know what I mean? Because she'd like to rule over her husband. But unfortunately, the Bible says... Can all the married men give me a bounce right now? Hallelujah. Word of God, sister. It's all right, she'll get me back later. Women are cunning like that. But you know you've got it when people come to you discouraged and they leave like lions instead of leaving like whining pussycats. You know you ain't got the calling of God in your life when people come to you to lick their wounds. And you just become a wound-licking community. Loads of scabrous dogs that come to lick each other's wounds and stay scabby and mangy. Are you with me? How many of you know you're more like a vet? People come to you sick, they leave well. They come to you down, they leave up. They come to you broken, they leave fixed. Because that's the power of the living God, and that's the calling of God, and that's what God does. But if you ain't got the calling of God, people are just going to be drawn to you to talk about sin. They're going to be drawn to you because they can be justified in doing wrong. Well, you know you're operating in the anointing of the call of God when transformation is taking place around you because you've been transformed, and transformed people transform things. And then your life leaves a tangible legacy when you're called by God. What does that mean? That means that you know you're an inheritor of the promise when dead people come alive, even when you're not there. 2 Kings 30, verse 20 and 21, it says, Elisha died. He'd followed Elijah. He'd taken up his mantle. He'd done what Elijah did. And in actual fact, check this out. He actually asked for the double portion from Elijah, and he followed him until he got it. He was determined. He didn't fake it. He didn't shake it. He didn't flake it. He went after him. Huh? Elijah tried to hold him back, push him back. He was pulled back. He said, don't go, I'm testing you, don't go. And he said, I'm coming after you. 2 Kings chapter 2, he took up the mantle of Elijah and went back, stood by the banks of the Jordan. He took the mantle that Elijah, that had fallen from him, and struck the water like Elijah did and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he struck the water, it was divided just as Elijah did. He did the same things. But then when he died, check this out, he was buried. And then groups of Moabite raiders used to invade the land each spring. Once when some Israelites were burying a man, they spied a band of these raiders. They hastily threw the corpse into the tomb of Elisha and fled. But as soon as the body touched Elisha's bones, the dead man came alive. There was a residue. There was a legacy. Are you with me? And it was this last miracle that made Elisha's miracle count exactly double Elijah's, 14 to 7. They might have thought that he had failed when he died on 13. But how many of you know he had the calling of God, and God cannot be mocked. And whatever he says will come to pass. It might not come to pass in the way we see it. And sometimes we might not even see the end of the vision that God has given for us personally. But when you're following the calling of God and you're trusting in the God of the calling, then even if you die, then God's will is still going to be done through your life. Even your testimony, it might be a book you've read. It might be a child you've raised. It might be a disciple of yours. It might be someone that you've reached. That even when you're gone, they're still reaching out. They're still... It's the same as Jesus. Even when he left, even when he went back to heaven, he left a legacy of people that reached out, that are still reaching out. His word is still active. We're still seeing disciples. We're still seeing salvation because people took the calling of God, went through the process, and fulfilled their purpose. That's why that song's so apt for us. When there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Me! Call me! When there's something strange in Salford, when there's something strange happening in Mossside or Hume or Wivenshaw or Moston, when there's something strange happening in Worsley or Oldham, when there's something strange that's taking place in Piccadilly Gardens, when there's something strange happening at Manchester University, Salford University, in the school, in your workplace, when there's something strange happening in Cheatham Hill, Moss Side. Who are you going to call? Who's God going to call? Who's God calling? Thanks, three of you. We can make a difference with three of you. Who's he calling? Who's called? Who's called by God? Who's been called out of darkness? Who's been called into light? Who's been called to make a difference? Who's been called to deal with the ravages of society? Who's been called to reach the hurting and the broken? Who's been called? Victory Outreach has been called. You've been called. Come and stand to your feet. The enemy's tried to hold you back. God's kept you back. But I believe in that the Lord's fingers are being released from the string. I believe he's about to release the string. And you are an arrow. And make sure you're pointed in the right direction. Because what's going to happen is that all of a sudden, even though it feels that nothing's been happening positively, even though it could feel that ever since you said yes to God, things have gone backwards or things have stayed still. The very fact is that if God is getting you ready, he's getting you ready for something and somewhere and someone. If he's pulling you back, it's so that you can launch forward and your impact would be more than you could ever make on your own. The enemy's tried to clip the string, cut the string, bend the arrow, snap the arrow, turn the arrow back in the wrong direction. But how many of you know that God is better than that? He's kept his hand on you. Some of you have been through loss, grief, hardship, sickness. There's no, listen to me. Take this. God don't want you to get over it. If anyone tells you just get over it, punch him in the face. Spiritually, with a prayer or a word. Amen? God's not bothered about you getting over it. It's not about that. He just wants you to know that whatever you face, he's going to walk with you through it. So that you know that even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with you. You don't have to fear evil. You don't have to fear darkness. You can feel something, but you don't have to fear it. You can feel anything. Don't have to fear anything. Because when God's hand is upon your life, he's going to take you where it is that he's prepared for you to be. Father, in this place, I pray that we would remember the calling of God upon our lives. That we would remember in this place that we are unique. It doesn't matter about anyone else around us. It matters about where you've placed us and what you've placed upon us and in us. My God, sometimes there's a second chance or a third chance because we've been facing the right direction. Sometimes there's even an opportunity to flip back round into the right direction so that we can end up where God wants us to be. Father, in this place today, you've already defeated the enemy. You've already destroyed his works. We know that there is a residue that is holding people back, but my God, there's a calling. People either remember it or respond to it right now. Take a minute. We're not going to do an altar call. In fact, we are going to do an altar call, but the altar call is going to be something different because we've still got to take up our tithes and offerings. Amen. Take a minute, 1 minute, 60 seconds. And either go back to that point where he called you and mark it again fresh. Or respond to the calling of God that's upon your life right now. Maybe you've never been called like this before. It's calling you to make a difference. He's calling you to be who you were created to be. He's calling you out of the norm, out of the soup. And he's calling you to stand up and stand out. Father, thank you. Thank you, oh God, that this is a called church, a called ministry. There are people in here who have been called to reach their families, to reach their neighbors, to reach their loved ones, to reach strangers. There are some people called to help people that have been trafficked into slavery. There are other people that have been called to help to disciple people that have been broken in addiction. There are people in this place that have been called to raise up wealthy businesses so that they can resource the kingdom of God. There are people in this place that have been called to be sports figures and public figures, politicians. There are people that have been called in many different ways for the same purpose, to image you, to represent you on this earth. Thank you, Jesus.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.